Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
We're here for you, and we're here to tell you all about the things we like that are good and that we're into. That's what we do on this show, largely. We do other things, too.
Uh-huh.
We're not just about that, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes we talk about great art, but that we don't like, so it doesn't fit into the normal format of the show. Sometimes we flirt with each other.
Yeah, I would say most times.
Well, let's not go wild. It's not like, you know, we're just constantly ribbing each other with little love barbs, huh?
Is that what flirting is?
From what I understand, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't really ever learn, I guess.
Yeah.
Teach me what love is. Teach me what love is. I want to know. I want you to show me.
I think I already have.
I think you have too. Do you have any small wonders?
I do, actually. I just thought of this.
Okay.
When you get a blanket right out of the dryer.
Oh, my God.
Last night.
Last night was pretty rough.
We had kind of a rough night with the boys. And Griffin, I had washed our big bed blanket.
Yes.
And Griffin had pulled it out of the dryer and came downstairs cloaked in it. And it was just so nice.
It was
comforting.
A cloak of solace.
So comforting.
When our children, both of them independently, refused to slumber.
And like timed out. Like
almost perfectly.
Typically the big one, like you can get to go to sleep. But lately he is fighting it a little bit more.
Yes.
And it seemed like the big one would be up and the little one would be down. And then the little one would be up and then the big one would be down.
Last night there was a time where I went into little one to bounce him on a bouncy ball for like 20 minutes. And then I came out and sat down and then the monitor for big one went off. And I was like, how did they do that so perfectly? Our children were conspiring against us, but that's okay. I did just wake up from a nap about 4 minutes ago as the crow flies.
Yeah. Is that your small wonder? Because it seems like
No.
It had to have been something we've discussed before.
Yeah, no, we've definitely talked about naps on many different occasions. No, I'm going to say filled Twizzlers. Good as hell. A lot of people don't think about filled Twizzlers. A lot of people say, do you like Twizzlers? And they're like, ew. Licorice, no thanks. And you're like, it can be so much more than
what
that.
Do they fill it with?
Sour stuff. Oh. I was going to say sour cream, but that's a different thing.
At some point, we are really going to have to examine our candy intake.
Yeah, it's going to be when our evenings, when we've reclaimed our time,
yeah,
so to speak.
That's fair.
Food
is all we have.
Food's all we got right now. Food and garbage reality television is about it. Hey, I go first this week.
Great.
I regret to inform you that my subject will not be something that you are that you care about, and I apologize.
Oh, wow.
It's a game thing. But I was struggling this week, and I just came back to Ace Attorney. I just really wanted to talk about Ace Attorney, the series of visual novel adventure games, the Ace Attorney series.
It seems like a sequel to a Jim Carrey film.
Ooh, that's fun.
So, you know, there's the first of the Pet Detective, and then When Nature Calls, and then
right.
Attorney.
But Ace is his name in those films, and uh-huh. Ace Attorney is more. That's sort of a modifier of
This
is saying this guy is a great attorney.
Okay.
Typically, the Ace Attorney in question is Phoenix Wright, but that is it's up for. Sometimes it's Apollo Justice. Sometimes it's other folks. Don't worry about it, though. I want to talk about the Ace Attorney series. Which is a lawyer game. You play as a lawyer, a defense attorney, who is placed in a series of impossibly difficult trials for the wrongly accused, and you have to exonerate them throughout these very delightful and long-winded trials, one might say. I'm talking about this because there's a new one out today that I've been playing a lot of, and it's reminded me just how much I love this series. I love this lawyer game.
What are the actions you can take as a player?
Sword attack. Well, it's a video game, so you have sword attack and gun attack. And you, no, it's not. It's you don't really do that. Largely what you do is you cross-examine witnesses. just like real court.
And are these preset phrases you choose from?
So no, it's not so much like that. It's not a, I use the term visual novel, which typically that is how those play out. Like sometimes you'll have like, choose your response to this question. This is a lot more open-ended than that. So typically how it plays out is you get into a trial, and the trial is like cartoonishly stacked against your client. Like it is cut and dry, locked room murder mystery, like, oh, your guy's the only one that could have done it. And then you have to cross-examine witnesses to try and find these inconsistencies to piece together the truth of the situation. And you do that by listening to these testimonies, and you can press them to like get more details about it and wait for them to slip up. And once you've picked up on something that doesn't quite make sense, you can present a piece of evidence that has been added to the court record that contradicts that. And a lot of those will be submitted either by you or by the prosecution. Sometimes there's like an investigation phase before you actually go to trial where you can collect evidence. So you're kind of playing part detective, part lawyer. You're wearing a lot of hats in these games typically. But you just listen to these testimonies and pay very, very, very close attention. And if you see something that doesn't make sense, you can present a piece of evidence to contest it. But if you mess up too many times, you lose the trial.
How long does like one of these go?
Well, it differs, right? Usually one of the games will have five trials included in it. And the first one's like fairly straightforward. These games are formulaic occasionally to a fault, because usually in the first one, you are the one who's been accused of murder and you are representing yourself in court. And those are usually pretty cut and dry. The final one in the game I just played is like, I mean, it's a few hours. Like, it takes a while.
Is it always murder?
It's, yeah, a murder or attempted murder, usually in those.
So it's not like you robbed this convenience store.
I mean, there's probably, there have been a dozen of these, I think, in the mainline Ace Attorney series. And so, you know, that's a lot of cases throughout them. There've probably been some less fatal, occasions, but I don't know. I don't get into true crime. That's not like a type of media that I typically consume. So this is really how I scratch that itch.
Yeah.
I just really like it because it's for one thing, it, first came out in 2005 on the Game Boy Advance, out in Japan, or 2001, actually. It didn't come to the States until 2005, where it was a Nintendo DS game. And it kind of introduced this visual novel genre to the States and like popularized it. And now like there's a ton of these visual novels, which are essentially just stories presented in a video game format that you largely just read. But these are more interactive than that. And like trying to solve the puzzles of each case is really satisfying. There is this focus on turnabouts where everything is so stacked against you. And when you start to find those little holes in the prosecution's argument and things start to look a little bit less hopeless until you finally like have that eureka moment, it's like something that not a lot of games have been able to replicate. And when it works, this new Ace Attorney game that's out today does some incredible turnabouts with that. And it just feels really, really satisfying till you get very invested in these wrongfully accused people's stories. And when you start to figure out like, oh shit, you really didn't do it. It's just, it's a really, really satisfying thing. It makes me like, I never watched Law and Order or any of those types of shows. I get, I guess, why people enjoy that, because courtroom drama is about as high stakes as it gets.
So can you like replay, like if you like mess up and you lose, can you like go back and try again?
Yes, although it's, I mean, you can also save at any time, so you can just sort of like, if you really start to mess up, you can, you know, save scum a little bit. And some, I will say this, there are varying degrees of quality between the games and the trials. This new one that's out today is very good. But there have been some where, like, instead of feeling like, oh, I'm a super genius, whenever you start to figure out these inconsistencies and contradictions, it's like, how on, you're guessing, like, how on earth was I supposed to get that? Like, there's, I remember one where, one of the big things is this eyewitness saw the killer holding a bunch of bananas when he killed somebody. And the whole time, like, it's not explained, like, what is going on, until you realize that one of the pieces of evidence is a baseball mitt. And you point out, like, he wasn't holding bananas. It was a baseball mitt. So the eyewitness isn't good at seeing things. And wow. The judge is like, throw them out. And I'm like, that's not court. That's not laws. That's not how any of it goes. But the new game, I would say, is really, I think, just a bunch of really good cases that you have to solve and figure out. There are these really great, what are called meltdowns, whenever you like really back one of the witnesses into a corner and tear them apart and usually expose that they themselves are the killer. They have these like extended hyper dramatic animations where like, you know, their wig goes flying backwards and it's like you've just like defeated a boss. The dramatics are like out of control. Anytime you present a piece of evidence, like usually Phoenix Wright will slam his fist down on the desk and scream objection. When you played it on the DS, the DS had a microphone on it. And so instead of pressing like a button to present evidence, you could yell objection into the microphone to present it. Oh, it's so good. The prosecutor in the new game is this like Dracula looking dude who keeps like filling up a glass of wine every time he's about to like trick you into a corner and like smash it on the table.
Yeah.
And then immediately apologize for it. It's the games are very funny. They're very well localized, which is, you know, these games are originally released in Japan. And it's quite a feat, like having not only all of that writing come over and be, you know, understandable and like genuinely very funny, but also like still follow the puzzle format of the original cases and not like screw all that up. I think the world of them.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think anyone would enjoy them. I don't know. I think I'm going to be a lawyer now.
Yeah.
Because I'm really good at it.
I wondered if you ever had law ambitions.
Between this and watching the OC and just seeing Sandy Cohen out there just yelling objection. Man, I would love a...
Kind of seems like maybe you're just attracted to the yelling.
I think I might just like the yelling part of it. There's a lot of yelling. There's a lot of pointing.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think maybe that's my jam. I don't know.
One of my dear friends went to school. She double majored in theater and political science and ended up becoming a lawyer. And it seems like that is the perfect combo if you're going to be a lawyer.
Yeah, I can see myself not necessarily being good at learning all the different laws and how it works in a courtroom. Uh-huh. But I could see myself being very good at like when cross-examining a witness if they say something. And then I'm like, can you repeat that, please? Did you just say that the gun was a red gun? Exhibit A! The gun is blue. It's one of those blue guns. So my client couldn't possibly have been the gun one, the gun user.
Yeah, you're ready.
Case closed. Folks of the jury, I rest my case. The gun is blue. Peace out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel pretty good about that.
Oh, that was good.
Hey, can I steal you away?
Yes.
Please, thank you. Oh, Grumpo Bumps, this one is for Grace. And it's from Tay, who says, Grace, you're my small and big wonder every single day. I'm going to marry you so hard one day soon. I know, not if you marry me first. I love you, from Tay. P.S. Hi from Toaster, Spritzer, and Shiner. You gotta personify your appliances. You gotta personify your appliances. Toaster's always there for you. Spritzer is always going to be there for you.
Huh.
Shiner, I don't know what that is. Is it one of those like sticks with the two sort of conical brushes that spin around and you hold them on your feet, you know, and they polish your shoes for you? You know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Probably. It's probably that. If I had one of those, I would for sure personify it. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, can I read you the next
one?
Yeah,
please.
This is for Annabeth. It is from Andy. To my dearest Annabeth, I'm incredibly excited to be marrying you next summer. I hope I'll have an easier time writing my vows in this Jumbotron, but I hope you know that Winry, Loop, and I are so lucky to have you in our lives. I am endlessly proud of you, and I am eager to see what adventures await us next. Love always, Andy. And I should say that after Winry and Loop, it does say cats in parentheses, which I'm guessing is for my benefit and not the recipient of this Jumbotron.
It's possible. It could just be that Andy, like, loves the musical Cats. And just like wanted to get that in there. Just get also. That one in there. Just like a big scrimpled shanks. Scrimpled dinks. I love scrimpled dinks.
Prepare yourself for the greatest pro wrestling podcast spectacular known as Tights & Fights. A back-dropping audio showcase that helps you understand the world of pro wrestling with a lot of love and no toxic masculinity. Featuring hosts Danielle Radford.
Time to kick butt and chew gum, and I'm all out of butts.
Lindsay Cal.
I'm a brutal Brit, and my fists were made to punch and hit.
And Hal Lublin.
I was doing the voiceover this whole time.
Hear us talk about pro wrestling's greatest triumphs and failures.
And make fun of its weekly absurdities.
On the Perfect Wrestling Podcast.
Tights and Fights. Every Saturday on Maximum Fun.
What have you prepared for us today, Rachel, to discuss? What have you teed up?
I have prepared something that I may have mentioned as a small wonder, but I don't recall ever doing a full-length segment on.
Okay.
By Nothing Groups.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate these for their comedic sort of ability. I think you have talked about this on the show, but it must have been a small wonder.
Yeah, I think it was. So this is something that I just kind of recently got into, like since pandemic. It's actually been around since 2013. It started in the Pacific Northwest and kind of moved its way across the country and then across the globe.
As a like Facebook group first and foremost, or did it have its origins outside the platform?
So it's kind of a bulk of its work is done on Facebook right now, but they are looking into an app platform so they can get off of Facebook.
Good.
But this is something that is really useful, particularly for us as we had a new baby. You know, we have 4 years in between our oldest and this new baby. So a lot of stuff either had fallen in disrepair or we had just gotten rid of.
Or the bugs claimed it.
Or the bugs claimed it.
If we put it in the garage and then we came out one day and the bugs were swinging one of their little baby bugs in the swing and we're like, ooh, that's yours now. Yikes.
How cute would that be, though?
Not.
Just little bugs taking turns in the swing.
I guess that's cute. Damn it, you're right. In a very Joe's Apartment kind of way.
Oh, God.
I need to stop referencing that.
Are we only people that have seen that movie?
Possibly. I saw it in theaters for
me
some
too.
Reason.
Me too. Well, you know what it was? It was like MTV's first movie, and we like wanted to be cool teens.
Gary O'Connell?
Jerry.
Jerry O'Connell. Not Gary O'Connell, the evil. He sliders into a world where he turned into Gary O'Connell. God, I've just referenced Sliders and Joe's Apartment within like 2 minutes of each other. I'm 700 years old.
I know. So all that to say that babies and children and there are things that you purchase sometimes that you know you are not going to get more than like a year or two's worth of use out of it.
Right.
And so Buy Nothing is great because it is a group designed to basically pick stuff up from people that they don't want anymore.
Right.
And to not pay anything for it.
Yep.
And Facebook has just been like a really easy platform for that because you post a picture and then you can kind of drive over there and see it. So the thing that is really unique about Buy Nothing as opposed to like maybe Craigslist is that they really focused on making it localized. So not just your city, but your neighborhood has a group. And right now there are at least 4 million participants across 44 countries with more than 6,000 independent locally led groups.
Wow.
For example, the group I joined is very specific to like our area.
Right.
And the idea, the people that founded it, Liesl Clark and Rebecca Rockefeller, wanted to not only contribute to less waste, but also kind of build community. And so it's this way to like drive over to your neighbor's house and be like, oh, you have a cooler.
Yeah. Thanks. And I don't need to know anything else about you. And then you see them at like a 4th of July block party like a couple years later and you're like, oh yeah, the cooler family.
Yeah.
That's not our name. Yeah. Sure.
I'm using that cooler though.
It's a great cooler.
And so, yeah, so it keeps everything kind of hyper local and just kind of focused on this like spirit of goodwill. Yeah. You know, like I am a member of other marketplace groups where people are selling like treadmills and they're like, this treadmill retails for $2,000. I'm selling it for $1,800.
You're right.
Like, oh, it's great.
Cool. It's got your foot gunk all over it.
Great deal.
Nice.
And so they built this whole like rule system around it, kind of focused on first keeping it legal, you know, like not giving away anything that is, you know, against the law.
Yeah. But I mean, come on. They can't do it if you're nothing like, who wants to buy these beanbag chairs for free? Wink, wink, wink.
Wait, in this scenario, is the beanbag chair full of illegal substances?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Counterfeit Pokemon cards.
What is that? Are they like, is there a typo in them? Like, what makes them not above board Pokemon cards?
You make them yourself. They're counterfeit. You print them off. You make them yourself. Yeah.
This is a thing.
It's a huge issue. Do you know about like Pokemon card fever? I'm sorry to divert things, but it is bananas.
Saw a sign on our local Target, yes, saying that they would no longer be selling them.
Well, you can only buy like two packs at a time or something, okay, like that. Yeah. And then McDonald's had like a promotion where they like in their Happy Meals and people just ransacked McDonald's because they had to have that first edition Bulbasaur. Give it to me. Wow, you must have a lot of kids, huh? Yeah.
I love these nuggets.
Yeah.
They also, it's a community where you're not allowed to like advertise business or anything. So it's like you're not going to go on there and like get pulled into somebody's side hustle.
Well, they can't control what they say to you once you get to their house to pick up the beanbag chair full of counterfeit Pokemon cards.
True. It's largely volunteer run. Like each little neighborhood will have administrators that kind of make sure that all the posts are appropriate. Mm-hmm. The one thing that they have really had to focus on, though, just because it is neighborhood based, is kind of not playing into like the systemic racism of communities.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times when you join these groups, they say like, what's the closest street intersection? And a lot of times that was a way for a group to kind of like keep certain people out.
Oh yeah.
So they have,
especially
since,
in a place like Austin that is so like,
uh-huh,
purposefully stratified.
And I mean,
a
lot of cities like Austin have that like physical boundary of like a highway or something.
Yeah.
So they are looking into a new native platform called Soup, Share on Our Platform.
Soup.
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 With the goal of expanding Buy Nothing beyond physical boundaries and also, whoa, disassociating itself from Facebook, which, damn, you know, is also problematic.
Wow. Beyond the physical plane.
And they encourage people to not focus as much on intersections, because part of it is like, prove that you live in this neighborhood, because you can only be part of one neighborhood group. So that prevents somebody from like running a hustle like all over the city.
Yeah.
Collecting all the rocking chairs.
Right.
And so they said like, well, just let people like identify with whatever neighborhood they want to.
Yeah.
You know, don't make their house number be the issue. There is a book that came out, The Buy Nothing, Get Everything Plan, which came out April 2020 by these two founders, with the idea that you can create this anywhere,
right?
You know, and it doesn't have to be Facebook. I will say the other thing that I kind of appreciate is that when somebody posts something, there's this whole etiquette, because, you know, if you're in a selling group, a lot of times it's like, first, I want it like within 5 minutes of being, right, posted. This one is like, I would like to be considered for this.
I mean,
item.
I guess it differs group to group, right? There's got to be some rowdy ass groups out there.
I think that's part of the role of the moderator. But right, yeah, I remember when I had, the reason I joined is that we have some friends here who had convinced me, who also have young children and like had gotten any number of things like outdoor equipment and clothes. And they told me like, hey, before you do anything, like if somebody posts something, don't just claim it. Just say you would like to be considered, because, ooh, that is part of the ethos. Because it's a free item. And, you know, obviously it's up to the person. They're not making any profit. Like,
give me that. Right.
But yeah, people will also post things that they want. So like today I saw people like looking for like camping equipment because they wanted to host a little indoor camping thing for their kid.
Cute.
And asking for like a tent and a s'mores maker, which I thought, hey.
Hey. Why do we have a s'mores maker? Was it a present?
Yeah, my parents listened to the show and they heard me talk about s'mores and they got me the s'mores maker and it was very cute.
Yeah, I mean, I can giggle at it,
but it was
when we had what was arguably the saddest New Year's Eve celebration ever this year. We cracked that bad boy out.
It is equivalent to a big cigarette lighter, though.
It is a big it's a big hair dryer.
Which, how were they to know?
It's a big overclocked hair dryer for sure. But it got the freaking job done, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Tasty, tasty, sad, lonely s'mores on that New Year's Eve.
I don't know. I think I like that this happened. And the other way it really paid off was during the big freeze here in Austin. And where our city kind of totally failed us, and one might say the whole state did.
Yeah.
And so it was difficult to get
things. One should say the whole state did.
It's difficult to get things like water. And people were on Buy Nothing just posting like, hey, I have extra water, or my water is still on if you want to come over. And it was just a really nice way to connect with the community.
Or saying like, hey, I have a key to shut off your water if your shit exploded. Or, hey, I have a truck that can operate in the ice if your family is in danger.
And since it was hyper-local, you could, like, know that you weren't going to have to drive 15 miles on the ice to get it. So, that's very cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I mentioned its comedic value because also you've told me about some stuff that people have posted on there that's been pretty bogus.
Yeah. So a lot of times people will share food items, which is great because there's a lot of people with food insecurity that are kind of uncomfortable going to a shelter, but might feel, you know, safer going to a neighbor's.
Absolutely.
But sometimes it's like...
The one specifically you mentioned... But somebody had gotten mistakenly a pizza delivered?
Somebody accidentally received some Domino's that they did not discover until the next morning. And they said, hey, I had a slice. It still seems good.
I didn't know they had a slice. Damn, that kicks it up again. No, it's been outside the food safe zone for such a long time.
Would you come take this outdoor pizza?
This outside pizza.
And I think I followed that post just to see if anybody. And I don't think anybody took the outdoor pizza. But a lot of times it's a lot more useful. It's like, hey, I got this, you know, 12 pack of soup and I had one and I don't like
soup?
It. Do you want the other 11 soups?
Who wants 11 soups? Hey, thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Thank you to you, dear listener, for listening, dear listener, to our show, this product that we create together as lovers. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. They have so many great shows there at MaximumFun.org, just waiting for you to click on them and listen to them and love
them. Yeah, maybe now that the Bubble graphic novel is out, you want to check out Bubble the show.
Yeah, no one's going to judge you for being so late to it. Now's the best time to listen to Bubble and get into it was yesterday, and today is the next best option.
Ooh, I love that.
Thanks. I made it up. and I think that is going to do it, man. I think that's freaking it. So I guess that's it then. I guess that's the end of it then.
That would be the show that we did.
Let me check. That's it. Hold on, wait. Confirmed. That's it. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.